Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
And this season's taken quite a turn this last month, ain't it? So we today we'll talk about the Texans game and then look forward to the Chiefs. But you know, first off, I mean, what an anemic, to use your word, offensive performance.
Yeah.
By the Patriots in this game. I mean, that's the major talking point, right?
I mean, you know, the major one, the defense also gave up 28 points. You know, they had a short field on one of them, so you want to say, you know, maybe they would have held them to 24. Or they could have held, you know, whatever. They gave up 28 points. One of the plays, one of those touchdowns may have not been their fault because of the interception, for sure. But on both sides of the ball, pretty piss poor. And a lot, you know, obviously you can blame the players as much as you want. And we'll get into all that. I blame coaching as an enormous part of this. I don't know if you agree with that, but we'll dive in.
We will dive into that, yeah. It goes without saying off the bat that the flu illness that was going through, I mean, it played a part, definitely played a part in this game in terms of the conditioning. And, you know, Marcus Cannon missed a series because he was getting an IV, and outside of that, he didn't look so hot.
No, he looked pretty bad.
So, yeah, that's definitely part of it. You lose your center in the second half of the game. He doesn't come back. You go, now you're on your third string center for the rest of it. And oddly enough, that's when they kind of turned it around. But I think the Texans were in prevent for that part. And, you know, it's so funny. It happens every year, right? When the Pats have a game.
Every single year.
They have a game like this. I mean, the Ravens game qualified also, but this one, they looked bad. The Ravens game, they didn't look terrible. Things just didn't go their way.
Right.
This game, they looked bad. And then you see the articles that come out the next week. I mean, Bill Barnwell on ESPN wrote an article. Is Brady done? His conclusion was no. There was another guy that wrote an article. Oh, I know the Patriot way inside and out. I spent 3 weeks with the team. Oh, 3 weeks. That's all it takes, huh?
Yeah, right. You know everything.
Yeah, exactly. And he writes a snarky article about it. But this is what happens. Is Brady done? Are the relationships terrible in the building? Is Patriots way dead? And you just want to take a breath. Take a breath. Texans are a playoff team. They're 8-4. That's not a joke team. Playing on the road, Sunday night football. Your whole team is ill. You're missing. I mean, Mohamed Sanu seems to be still slowed by an ankle injury. You have other injuries going around.
Yep.
But focusing on the offense initially, they get a field goal on the opening drive, and then that's it for the first half. And it seemed like things were going okay. The defense had two stops early, and then the interception happens. Texans get the momentum, they get the short field, and they cash in.
And everything starts falling apart.
And there's no looking back from there. They end up tacking on another touchdown later on in the half, and the Patriots can't get anything going until, I mean, really the very end of the third quarter is when they scored their first touchdown.
Yep.
And then it was kind of garbage time. I mean, it was fairly close. I don't know.
Well, to go lead into that point, I mean, one positive from this team is they almost won.
They did. They were an onside kick away from being able to win.
We got the hand. Bolden had the touch the ball. I mean, it's like, it's not like, oh, it was an onside kick and it was a joke. No, there was a chance. It was a really good, and they were going to great. I mean, the fact that they were even, that was even possible at that point, you know, I've thought, you know, right after the game, you're pissed off. What do we have here? Do we have anything? But after a couple days, you marinate and then you let it stew. It's like, okay, well, that's a little building point right there. And Brady posted on his Instagram, like, this team doesn't quit. So he liked that.
That's true, yeah.
But, you know, going back to the first quarter where he said we drove the ball down and we scored three. We ran the ball. We ran it well. We, you know, not amazingly, but enough that it was basically, you know, getting us down the field. They went to Edelman early on big third down conversions again, which, you know, to me, it's like, okay, you guys have all week to scheme this up and you're big, you know, you just go to Edelman, you go to Edelman. It's like, I understand he's the most trustworthy guy, but can't we scheme up some of these other guys? And we will delve into that a little more. And second series, drive all the way down the field with this big formation, tight ends, you know, you got Robertson fullback a little bit, all this good stuff. And then what do we do on the second series? We spread it out.
Yeah.
We go 4 and 5 wide. We throw 3 passes and he throws a pick.
Bingo, bango.
So we'll start on my point early in coaching. You know, Josh McDaniels, everyone talks about how great an offensive coordinator is. And, you know, we've talked about it at length and all this stuff. His flow of the game this year and last year. It's like, you know, what are you doing, man? And I've heard this thing, oh, well, they like to figure out their matchups and see how people react to this versus that and the other thing. And I get all that. That's great. But when your offense hasn't scored any points in the last 4 or 5 weeks or however many weeks it's been, you're not really in a position to try and screw with people.
Yeah.
You just need to go and score. You need to figure out something you can do and just do it until they figure out how to stop it. Because the Houston's one of the worst running – not one of the worst running defense in the league, but they're a bad run defense. Baltimore blew them out because they ran all over them. And we started great. Sony Michel looked good. He had like 40-something yards in mid – you know, early second quarter. He just stopped running.
They stopped playing him as well.
They stopped playing – we're down 7-3, and all of a sudden – it's like, oh, we don't need to we can't use the running game anymore.
Yeah, it's like 7-3. That's a fine time to use.
It's the game is just started. And you know, I know Brady was really frustrated coming to the sidelines. He flips his helmet. He looks like he has no answers. You know, people are saying his play has slipped. I don't really think so. I think he had a bad game, you know.
He also he was on the injury report with an elbow injury on his throwing elbow.
Right. That could be significant, and everyone blows that off like it's nothing.
Right.
You know, it's the rookie receivers. You got N'Keal Harry in there. I think Zoe said it on the radio broadcast. It's third down. You spread it out twice. You spread it out again. It's third and long. And you take Sunu off, who is someone that Brady is starting to trust, and you have the two rooks there that don't seem to know what they're doing. And we keep seeing this week in and week out. Instead of improvements, these guys, you know, Jacoby Myers, several plays. He can make plays out there, but he's running the wrong routes. He's not running the right route. N'Keal Harry looks like the lights are still a little too bright for him. He doesn't have his feel down yet, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not ready to write that kid off for you.
No, he's played 2 games. 3
because
games.
Because a lot of people seem like they're ready to write him off.
He's played 3 games. That's not nearly a big enough sample size. Yeah, he played a lot early in the game, first quarter, and then he was the intended target on that interception by Bradley Roby, where Roby beat him to the spot, and then he barely played. Can't trust you. You don't have a high enough compete level to prevent that interception from happening. And so he got bench burned after that. Jacoby Myers doesn't have enough juice yet. I don't know. He looks skinny. I think he'll get more powerful faster.
Yeah.
As he gets more time in the training program. But right now, I mean, in this game, Tom Brady was hit 12 times. 12 times. And
it's a lot.
Think about, do you remember the 2015 AFC Championship game in Denver? The game that we couldn't block anybody. Von Miller had a field day. Brady was on his back the whole time. 17 hits. Not that different. 12 hits in this game. And he was holding the ball on average, 3.5 seconds per throw.
Right.
Holding it in his hands. Normally, he's down below 2.5.
Yeah, easily.
Easily below 2.5.
Easily below 2.5. He's like usually around 2.2 or something when they're playing well.
Yeah, when they're humming along. League average is 2.76. He's holding it 3.5 seconds. He's not doing that because he's testing the offensive line. He's doing that because nobody's open.
Or he doesn't trust he doesn't trust that he can make a throw in a tight spot and it'll, you know, be a positive play.
Yeah. I think it's because they weren't getting separation. Nobody's getting open.
Yeah, I mean, me and you have argued this in the past about the separation game. I mean, you're more into, you got to get separation, you got to get separation. I've been on the side where, yes, you do need that, and that's great and helpful, but if you're a good offensive coordinator, you can scheme guys open. And you can't always do that, you can't always play with that, but, you know, that's part of the reason I get on McDaniels. It's like, dude, we had a 4th and 1/2 yard, and you throw the ball. And it wasn't a bad play, but it's like, you know, what you see him draw. Anytime you see someone drop back on a 4th and short, anytime, I don't care who it is, what they're playing, it's like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's this flow of the game in these play calling, something I've been thinking about recently, too, that factors in is, you know, everyone's saying, well, Brady needs that guy that can take double coverage, right? He needs that Gronkowski that'll open up his other guys and this, that, and the other thing. And I, you know, and I'm more wondering if Josh McDaniels knows how to call an offense without that key piece.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because he hasn't done it since 06.
Since 13, pre-Randy Moss?
13 years ago.
That 06 passing game was not good.
And it was terrible.
It's not good.
It's terrible. He called that offense. They made it to the AFC Championship because they had a lot of veteran talent.
Oh, ton. That defense was great.
Right. So that, and then he had 07, best offense in, like, ever. And then I think he left after that. Did he come back in 2013? I think he came back as a quarterback's coach, right, or something?
He came back as a coaching assistant. He was still with the Pats through 08, the Matt Castle season.
08, right.
And then, he came back in 2012 at the end of the year, I want to say.
Right, and then
2013.
Basically, he took over the offense again in 2014, I believe.
Yeah.
Where you have Gronkowski and, you know, Edelman finally came into his own and all these other pieces, and it's, you know, everyone's saying this, that, and the other thing. Brady needs this piece, and I'm wondering if it's McDaniels that needs this piece.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Because, you know, okay, now you don't have the guy that's going to be able to beat double coverage or take double coverage constantly. Can you get these other guys open? Because, you know, we see every week in the NFL, nobodies are catching passes.
Oh, constantly.
Constantly catching passes. I mean, it's like Kansas City just pulls a receiver out of their ass, and it's like, all of a sudden they're great. It's like, oh, okay. And, you know, same with the fucking all kind of, yeah, Green Bay. Like, they've won games, not to say that they're doing great, but they've won games with nobody at receiver, and Rodgers is just picking apart the defense.
Yeah, when you take Devontae Adams out of that group, it's like, who is this Lazard guy?
Right. It's like, what the hell's going on? When he was injured, they had nobody. But, you know, they still won games, and their offense didn't look horrible. It has looked bad, but, and, you know, between the game flow and the scheming to get guys open, I know Jacoby Myers ran the wrong route a bunch of times. Brady's pointing for him to go downfield, and he comes upfield, and, you know, they're not on the same page. The kid's an undrafted free agent rookie, you know? I mean, the last time one of them started was Kembrell Tompkins. Everyone thought he did pretty good, and he was cut the next year.
Yeah, that 2013 team did not have many weapons. This is very reminiscent of that.
It is very similar.
It's extremely similar. That was a season that Gronkowski played like four games, something like that.
Right.
And outside of that, it was Kembrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce. It was Edelman's first year as a starter. Danny Amendola was injured most of this. It's very similar to that. I think I'm getting behind what you're saying here about McDaniels. One thing, I was at the game, and we were screaming at the field, being like, run a screen pass.
Right?
When did they just decide we don't do screen passes anymore?
I don't know.
Right? I mean, James White had a great game. We talked about this last week. Is James White going to be a focal point in this offense going forward? And clearly, this game, he was big time.
Well, clearly, I think what we touched on last time was, you know, he's their weapon. They know he's their weapon, and they only want to use him when they know they need him.
Yeah,
and this is, and they knew they needed him, right?
And he played great, but I mean, can I get a wide receiver screen? I don't even think. I mean, most of James White's catches were not screens. I can't even think of a screen off the top of my head where he really had those blockers out in front. So that was a big sticking point for me. One of the things that really sticks in my craw is Sony Michel at Georgia. He was the receiving back. So it was Sony Michel and Nick Chubb in that backfield. Nick Chubb was between the tackles. Sony Michel was on the edge and catching the ball. What does he have, like 8 catches in his career at this point? I mean, he is just completely unused. And when they put him out there, I mean, he looks bad. He looks like he doesn't know what route to run. He looks very uncomfortable catching the ball. But if you put on the college highlights, he catches the ball all the time.
Really?
And looks great. It's like, what? What is the coaching staff doing where you absolutely wrecked this kid's confidence?
Exactly.
He's got no confidence in that.
The same, you know, it's the same with these younger guys. You know, you got Julian Edelman. Dorsett's somebody that's been in this offense for, what, 3-4 years now?
How long has it been?
3 years. Now, obviously, you know, we've seen games in the past where he needs to be relied upon as more than like a number three receiver, and sometimes he can't meet the task. I understand that. He wasn't worth the first round value when the Colts drafted him all those years ago, and that's kind of all in the same boat there. But it's also like, why, you know, he's not doing the right thing sometimes. It's like, what's going on there?
Yeah. Why is it so complex that a three-year veteran can't get it?
Right. Why is N'Keal Harry, who had the first 8 weeks of the season to be in his playbook, not really know what to do? And, you know, Brady said earlier in the season, when they were asking about the new guys, he said, you know, I'm not the coach. I'm just the quarterback. And a lot of people took that and, you know, very negatively, that he was shitting on these players, that he was shitting on the talent around him, which he may have been. I don't really know what his intention was. But then I was thinking about it this after watching this game, and I wonder how much of it was actually a dig on the coaching.
It sounds like a dig on the coaching when you say that to me.
Because he said that and everyone goes, well, he can't even give these young guys a thing. He's saying he's not going to coach. He doesn't want to work with them. And that's how a lot of people took it, and I can see why they took it that way. But after watching this game, I wonder how much of it is him saying, you know, it's the coaching. You know, the coach, and it is the coaches. It's Josh McDaniel's job to get these rookie receivers up to speed. It's his job to make it so someone like Dorsett knows where to go and what to do. It's not, you know, Brady's got to get on the same page with him, sure. But, you know, if this offense is that complex where guys don't know how to get open or where to run and not be on the same page, can't you dumb it down a little? Like, can't you let N'Keal Harry just run a slant? For Christ's sake, have to be so, like, look at Russell Wilson with Seattle. They're off. I know Russell Wilson's a different player than Tom Brady, this, that, and the other thing, but they don't run a very crazy offense. It's like they have very few routes. DK Metcalf doesn't know how to find the soft side of part of the field. They just tell him to run like three routes, and it's fairly successful. And I'm not saying to do that, you know, all the damn time, but all right, let the kid run a goddamn post. Tell him to run a post.
Yeah, instead of, I don't know even how they call their routes. If they're like, go up 8 yards if you see this coverage, if you see that one, go 12, go inside if the guy's leaning one way. I don't know how complex it gets, but it seems like it's overwhelming everybody in the passing game. And you could see the frustration with Brady on the sideline. I mean, everybody like got out their lip readers to read what Brady was saying to his teammates out there.
I could see what he was saying too. Easily.
Yeah. And something's got to change. And that's need to be leaned on.
And that's the thing I don't understand. It's like, you know, you're the coaches. You're supposed to put these players in the best position to succeed. You're not, you know, and we've seen this in the past. Brady is really hard on young guys. Gronk even said it. Gronk years later in an interview said, you know, I told Brady, you know, I thought he hated me my rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
And Brady said, no, man, I don't hate you at all. I'm just really hard on you because he literally said, because I love you and I want you to be the best you can. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Brady is got this Belichick philosophy to him where it's like, you know, tough love, you know, put the work in, you know, get chewed out and do the right thing. Now, I don't know if everyone responds to that. It doesn't seem like someone like N'Keal Harry responds to that. Mm-hmm. But the coach has got to put these guys in positions where they can succeed. That's why Belichick's so great on defense. He takes these nobodies and goes, oh, yeah, you know what? That guy's really good around the edge. We're just going to have him do that.
Right?
Right?
Instead of doing the round peg square hole thing.
Exactly. Oh, well, let's drop him into coverage and have him rush through the middle when he can't do that. It's like, why can't we do that on offense? Because I think we have enough pieces. Edelman's hurt, but between Edelman, if you get a healthy Sanu, Dorsett figures out something. Watson at tight end, you know, they barely looked to him, but he had a good catch and run last week. I know it was one, but I'm not expecting the guy to get 10 catches. Two or three receptions a game for 30 or 40 yards is all we said all year that you're looking for.
Right.
Lacoste, you know, had made it look easy on one catch and then run and then drop, you know, ball bounced off his hands on the other. You have James White. You have Sony Michel, who could be good. Rex Burkhead is decent. I mean, you got enough pieces.
Yeah, there are enough pieces. I know.
But and then the other thing is that I found out is Joe Judge is the wide receivers coach as well as the special teams coach still. Now, I thought he just promoted to wide receivers coach.
Oh, so he's got double duties. So he's
stretched. He's got double duties. And, oh, guess what's going on? Your receivers don't know what the fuck they're doing outside of a 10-year veteran. So yeah,
that's a good point.
What, you know, how does that reflect on the coaching? So, I mean, all these things just keep coming back to coaching for me. And, you know, I know you don't think Brady fell off. Brady didn't fall off. Brady still got it. Maybe he lost a step here or there, but overall, he's still better than 98% of the guys out there.
Yeah, I want to see what he looks like once he's off the injury report.
Yeah. And, you know, the offensive line is this, that, and the other thing. They let up some pressures. He got hit 12 times. He's holding the ball. But it's just, you know, and it's like McDaniels, man. It's you fucking run the ball, and then everyone's going, okay, they're going to run it again. And what does he do? He runs it. Why don't you go to play action, for Christ's sake, occasionally, you know? It's like when everybody and their mother knows you're going to run the ball, why don't you just play action it? Or do, like you said, a little wide receiver screen, tight end screen.
Running back
Rex
screen.
Rex Burkhead, running back screen. Rex Burkhead's good at screens. James White's probably the best at screens.
Yeah.
Michelle would be a decent screen runner. I mean, and I know that people say that when you go to screens, it's kind of, it's a little bailout. But I don't know, man. Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. Something's got to change about the way the offense is being executed. They got no answers on third down. They got no answers in the red zone. The red area, they're 24th in the league, converting less than 50% of red zone trips into touchdowns.
Yeah.
So something's got to go there. That being said, they did have no three and outs in this, unless you count the interception.
Mm-hmm.
No three and outs. So they're able to get first downs. They had almost twice as many first downs as the Texans did, 29-16. They ran 79 plays to the Texans 52 plays, and they, I mean, it's hard to believe that it turns out like that.
Yeah.
And you're losing the game, time possession, 35 minutes for the Patriots, 25 for the Texans. They possessed the ball. A lot of that happened in the second half, and man, that Kenny Stills touchdown, 35 yarder right after the Will Fuller touchdown got reversed, and they just run like the same play.
They ran the same exact play.
Kenny Stills, and they convert again. Oh, that was demoralizing.
Yeah, so that was the other thing I wanted to say is also about coaching. I think the reason the defense was unsuccessful was also coaching. You know, basically, the thing that kills me is, you know, the zero blitz looks really cool. I think it looks great some of the time. You know, in certain situations, it's a great weapon. You can't really use it unless you're a really good defense. And for those who don't know what that is, it's basically when you have a bunch of guys at the line, you're only manning up. Everybody else is basically going at the quarterback. So if you have four guys spread out running routes, you have seven guys rushing the passer.
Right. Means right? No safety help.
No safety help. Now, that's great, but when you have an actual quarterback who knows what he's doing, like Deshaun Watson, and I think he's pretty good, and he was seeing the field really well, what'd they do? They threw over the middle all damn game.
Yeah.
And what did we do on the biggest third downs when we needed a stop and they've been throwing over the middle the whole damn time? We blitzed everybody with no safety help over the middle. Did you notice that?
Yeah, sometimes.
I was ready to rip my screen off the fucking wall when they scored that last touchdown because they got a bomb over the middle. And it's like, you realize if McCourty, who's hovering around the line, if you just had him run straight backwards, that would have been, he would have probably had three picks this game.
Totally. Well, he wouldn't have thrown those.
Or he wouldn't have thrown it.
If he's staring at Devs. And then, yeah, then he's got to make a lower percentage throw to the boundary. That would be a big thing. Definitely, yeah. The Will Fuller touchdown immediately followed by the Kenny Stills touchdown. That was their second to final touchdown. The like DeAndre Hopkins flip. That was their a third down conversion by DeAndre Hopkins where Stephon Gilmore was playing like 7 yards off coverage,
mm-hmm,
on like a third and six, and Hopkins just ran up to his feet, cut towards the post, and had like 5 yards of separation. Who told Stephon Gilmore to play off coverage?
Right.
That guy is a pressed man corner through and through, going back to his college days. That's what he does.
Right.
Leave him in it. I mean, he's developed into a pretty good flat defender as a cornerback, mm-hmm, in their cover two scheme. But his bread and butter, I mean, the reason that he is in the discussion for defensive player of the year is the way he plays press man coverage. And in one of the biggest plays in the game, this third down play right on the edge of field goal range, you got him way off the ball. I don't know if that's his choice, but if it's the coach's choice, that's putting your guy in a position to fail.
I would think it's a coaching choice.
You would think so, right? I would hope that they him at some point, want you here or we want you there, and don't just like roll the dice and see if he figures out what you want him to do.
Yep, because he really hasn't made that many mistakes recently. You know, in the last couple of years, he really doesn't make any mistakes like that. You know, he'll let up a little pass here and there. But, I mean, all these things go back to coaching. Like, you let up a touchdown with Jonathan Jones on solo coverage on Will Fuller, and then you let up the exact same play the next play. That is coaching. That is not, that's not your players being, that's your players being in bad positions because your coaches were like, oh, we don't, and it's almost like, it's that to me, it's like the offense is so, McDaniels and the offensive staff is so underconfident of their players, and Bill and Steve Belichick are so overconfident in the defense that they go, oh, we can just zero blitz everybody and they're not going to know what to fucking do.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, dude, put someone over the goddamn middle for Christ's sake. I don't care who it is.
Good call.
That's how we've gotten all of our interceptions. How has McCourty gotten all of his interceptions this year? I feel like half of them have come because he's just sitting over the middle and nobody sees him.
Yeah, and they just chuck it up.
They just chuck it up, and there's McCourty. And all of a sudden, oh, no, we don't need to do that shit anymore. That pissed me off so much. You know, the first two series or the first two touchdowns, like, okay, you didn't see that coming. You didn't know they could do it. Now you should make the adjustment that these guys, he's reading the field well. Let's put a safety back there. We're not getting pressure on him. For Christ's sake.
Got that right, Jamesville. And defensively, if you just look at the people that were sick going into the game, that were on the injury report, the illness, most of them were defensive players and concentrated on the linebackers. Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy were all feeling it. And when I was watching the first half, I was like, Hightower looks slow. He looks sluggish. And I took to saying every time I saw him on the field, take him out. He's not up to snuff right now. And then immediately he gets like a big giant sack on Deshaun Watson. One of those times I said that, but they shut down the running game. They really did. It was just, there's a handful of crucial plays that they weren't able to win. And you got to give the credit to the Texans that they were able to convert those.
And they schemed it up well too. You know, they took advantage of the linebackers who weren't feeling well and usually aren't very good in coverage. They were throwing other running backs. They were throwing their tight ends early. And once we kind of shored that up, they started going over the middle to their receivers. And we were, like I said, we just refused to do anything about it. I don't know if it's an overconfident thing where they're like, well, they can't touch us because we're too good.
Yeah.
And it's like ridiculous.
Sometimes it's hard to tell when you're at a game, just what the feeling would be watching it on TV, which we're all more familiar with. It felt to us at the game that their fourth quarter offense, is the Patriots' fourth quarter offense, wasn't moving as fast as you would want it to move.
No.
Okay, it wasn't just me.
No, there was a few.
It felt
there
deliberate.
Was a few things in this game also that reflect on the fucking coaching that made no sense. You go in there with, what was it, on that two-point conversion, right? That first two-point conversion where Brady goes in, he stands there. He doesn't like the play. He sees what they're going to do, and he decides to, you know, take the penalty instead of calling a timeout. I can understand didn't want to call the timeout, but at that point, why didn't you just kick it?
Oh, instead of putting Brady on the field?
Yeah. The point difference, the scenario they were trying to drum up with the two-point conversion really wasn't going to save them much.
It could have. I mean, if you're down 21-10, it's better than being 20 down. I mean, oh, yeah, because they would have been down 21-11 if they connect on that two-point conversion instead of 21-10. 21-10 is fine.
Right. They were down. They basically were 7-10 points away, a field, you know, two scores from tying instead of three to win it. Now two touchdowns versus a touchdown and a field goal. But the funny thing is, if they got that, then the second two-point conversion would have made a lot more of a difference. But whatever. Regardless of that, they were just blowing time in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They didn't use their timeouts properly. They let time run off the clock before they were making certain plays and doing certain things. And I thought that was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
it didn't feel like they were trying hard to win the game.
No. And the whole thing didn't feel right. Right from that, once they got so flustered from that first pick you knew something was up. And, you know, Brady's been underconfident this whole season of his receiving staff. You know, you look at the targets, though. Jacoby Myers got 7 targets.
Yeah.
He must like Jacoby Myers.
Well, he threw the ball 47 times. Somebody's got to get a bunch of these targets.
That's true. And, I mean, I would like to know how much of his frustration comes from the coaches expecting him to go above and beyond when, you know, they're the ones that are supposed to put these players in the position to succeed.
That would be frustrating, wouldn't it?
It would be, because we've all know how that works. When your boss expects more than you're literally supposed to do or paid for or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. When they're like, somebody just got laid off and you are now responsible for all their responsibility.
Right.
Or now, somebody's not doing their job properly, like maybe coaching stuff.
And I can, and it makes a lot more sense that Brady would be frustrated by that than the lack of talent around him, because we've seen years where he had no talent.
That, you know? I imagine that's frustrating as well.
I imagine it's frustrating, but like, you still got Edelman, you got James White.
They spent a second round pick to pick up Sanu.
Who was apparently Brady's guy. He wanted him supposedly before Emmanuel Sanders.
Dumb. Emmanuel Sanders looks great on the Niners. He looks great.
He did get Watson. We spent the first round pick on N'Keal Harry. I mean, that's a receiver, you know. Whether he works out or not, they tried.
Right.
I mean, so I understand. It just seems there's something with, I don't know, McDaniels, man, has just been rubbing. His play calling has just really been rubbing me the wrong way. It's like I can tell exactly what he's going to call every single play. Mm-hmm. And I know I've been watching the Patriots for a damn long time and the way he calls a game, but it's like, dude, if I'm on watching from fucking home and can pretty much predict 3 out of 4 plays, I can guarantee you the defense can't do.
Oh, definitely. I watched them line up in formations, and I'm just some beanbag on a couch, and I'm just like, oh, Edelman comes in motion to the far side of the formation, sets up there, and they're running an off-tackle play. It's like, you could see it.
And it's like, dude, you got to switch it up.
Yeah.
So I blame a lot of the offensive woes on that. And, I mean, you lost a lot of coaches this year, and we were kind of wondering if that would have any effect. Clearly, it's had an effect, because there's guys that aren't up to speed on this offense, because you lost a lot of guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, case in point, Chad O'Shea, who's now the offensive coordinator with the Dolphins, who, oddly enough, the Dolphins are averaging, since week 5 of the season, are averaging more points per possession than the Patriots are. They have a more effective offense in Miami than we do here since October started. Right.
And you talk about a lack of weapons. They have, who do they have? Devontae Parker?
Devontae Parker went nuts.
He sucks.
I think he's got talent coming out the wazoo, but he hasn't done shit until this season. And right now he's blowing up. I think he knows it's a contract that way. But the point I was making about Chad O'Shea was he was the wide receivers coach for a number of years for the Patriots, and he was the red zone coordinator. He was in charge of crafting the red zone offense. This is all coming from Do Your Job, by the way. You guys can find it on YouTube. But, yeah, he was the red zone coordinator. Now our wide receivers stink, and the red zone stinks.
And it's like, is that a coincidence?
And Gronkowski's. I mean, that's a big part of it.
Of course, Gronkowski's gone. That's a huge part of it. But once again, that's the goddamn offensive coach's job. You got this talent. Make it work. I mean, everyone's talking about, you know, in 01, Brady was willing to throw to everybody and this, that, and the other thing. And he was. And they're like making it seem like David Givens and Deion Branch were the best tandem in the goddamn world. They were not very good.
They both went elsewhere and stunk.
And sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, Deion Branch was great here. I'll never take that away from him. But he was an average receiver.
In Seattle.
Just in general. He was a number 2 or number 3 anywhere else.
Yeah. And David Givens got hurt. He got hurt.
David Givens' best season was like 750 yards. Okay?
Plus a couple playoff touchdowns.
Plus a couple playoff touchdowns.
There you go.
Okay, I'll give
them
that.
That's how they're measured. That's how they can be
measured. For Christ's sake, Jacoby Myers is probably on pace to have as good of a season as David Givens ever did, statistically.
Yep. Different era.
Well, think about that. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, we get it. They need to step it up in the offensive coaching staff. It's happened before. Been plenty of examples. You could go through all kinds of games. What happened in Tennessee last year? What happened in Kansas City in 24? All these things, they can be remedied. And if you have a coaching staff, if you start with Dante Scarnecchia, you have J- Josh McDaniels there, and it's being overseen by Bill Belichick. I feel like they're going to figure it out, but this has been a long stretch. I'm talking since more than 2 months.
Yeah.
Of this offense really not playing well. They got to turn it around. They got Isaiah Wynn back now. If they can get some people healthy, Marcus Cannon has not been himself.
No.
Despite him actually playing remarkably well against the Cowboys, despite the illness and injury, things will move forward. Mohamed Sanu, if he could shake this ankle thing. I mean, there's a lot of things that could improve, but there's not. I mean, some people want Antonio Brown. I am not one of those people.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed a long time ago.
Yeah, and he just keeps doing stuff, and everyone's like, oh, what did he actually do here? And it's like, he wouldn't shut up. They don't tolerate people who won't shut up.
I think that's over with. I mean,
They use the allegations as a reason to get rid of him. Maybe that was the primary driver, but I got to think the nonstop jawing and posting, that was the primary driver.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have any white knight walking through the door, but you know what? After I let this game stew a little bit in my head, and I even went back and watched a little bit of it, you know, like you said, this happens every single year. Patriots, there's two scenarios for a Patriots season for our last three Super Bowl runs era. It's either we come into the season as Super Bowl favorites and start awful, and everyone says Brady's done, and we suck and can't do anything, and then turn it around by like week six or seven and dominate everybody, or we start great based on our schedule or whatever it is, and we go undefeated for however many half a dozen games, whatever it happens to be, and then start shitting our pants about a little more than halfway through the season. Everyone goes, well, they're not going to do anything in the playoffs. They suck. And then somehow we turn it around and go on a run every single year. Last year, think about last year. We went to Pittsburgh in a game we should have kicked their ass and lost, 17-14 or something, and just an ugly, ugly fucking game. Idiot. And then go to Miami and lose on the last play in an ugly game, and we lost to Tennessee 30-0 in that season. We went 12-4. We were supposed to be the fifth seed. Somehow Houston loses, gets kicked out of the playoffs, and we get elevated to the first seed.
We were 11-5.
11-5.
Seed. They were the two seed behind the Chiefs.
Oh, that's right. We had to go to Kansas City. But anyways, we went from the fifth seed to the two seed. I'm sorry. We got the bye. That's what it was.
Yep.
Thank you for correcting me. And then we go on a run and win the Super Bowl. Nobody, even me, who is the most overconfident, ridiculous Patriots, they're going to win every game in my mind. After that Pittsburgh game last year, I was like, I don't think they can do it.
Right.
I don't know if they can do it. And all of a sudden, the playoffs come, they got that bye, and they start kicking everyone's ass. Offense starts – and our offense was anemic. Our offense is terrible for, the last 6 weeks of that season.
Yeah, big time. And one of the ways they figured it out, specifically in that Pittsburgh game, and then again late in the Chiefs game, and then clearly at the end of the Super Bowl, was just throwing the ball down the field to Rob Gronkowski.
That's so true.
You don't have that white knight, as you put it. You don't have the ace in the hole. You can't just – go back to that on third and long in the fourth quarter when you need it. Man, Gronk had one of those catches in that Pittsburgh game where he just scooped it off the turf running an out route 20 yards downfield to the 5 yard line. I know that's a sidebar, but that guy was a remarkable player. I think we'll see incremental improvement from a number of positions. I'm worried about center. I'm worried about Ted Karras going down. Luckily, it was an MCL sprain, which is typically about a 2 week injury.
Yep.
So we might see him back again. There's the distinct possibility that James Ferentz, given the opportunity, plays.
He didn't look that bad.
I wouldn't bet on him playing better than Ted Karras did, considering the coaching staff never gave him a chance while Karras was healthy. So that's an area of concern. I think both tackles will play better. It'd be nice if Ben Watson could be more involved, figure out Sony Michel. There are all these little things that could improve, and Brady's health being a primary. Let's just take a look at this season. Right now we're 3/4 of the way through. The Pats are 10-2. The sky's falling.
I know, we're still 10-2.
They did just lose possession of first place in the AFC this weekend because Baltimore had another impressive win, this time taking out the Niners in home in a slot fest. His mother was a mutter. And So they move ahead of the Patriots by virtue of the tiebreaker in the head-to-head matchup. They're also 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other interesting tidbits that's developed, and this is something I had to be reminded of, is the Bills, after beating the Cowboys in an impressive win on Thanksgiving, are 9-3. The Bills are one game back from the Patriots with a head-to-head matchup still on the schedule.
Yep.
There is a possibility the Pats don't win the division for the first time with Tom Brady for the first time since 2002.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's possible.
That's a possibility right now. Now, the Bills are hosting the Ravens this weekend.
Yep, which is a tough game. We kind of want them to beat the Ravens. I want them to beat the Ravens.
I would like them to beat the Ravens as well. Isn't that funny that you're just that confident that you're going to be able to beat the Bills down the stretch?
Well, yeah, they usually have a tough time in New England. I mean, if this game was in Buffalo, I would definitely feel worse about it.
Yeah, I'd feel worse about it too. Their offense has figured out something recently. Josh Allen's playing better than he ever has.
Yep.
In the last month of the season. Yeah, Buffalo's coming to New England on the second to last week of the regular season. The only other time I could think of them beating the Patriots in Foxborough was when Jacoby Brissett was starting there.
Yeah.
That's the only other thing that comes to
mind.
It's
like some crazy stat. Like Brady's like 29 or 30-1 or something against Buffalo and New England, or undefeated. Wow. It's something insane. Like he either has one loss or none, and won every other matchup. So
that's a lot.
That, I mean, you can't go off that. But you know, man, I've got confidence in you got Bill Belichick, you got Tom Brady. They're gonna figure it out. I really, this week, last day or two, I was like, you know what? Maybe N'Keal Harry can turn around. He doesn't look good, but the kid's got skills. Everyone thought he was like the best receiver potentially coming out of the draft.
Most people thought he was a steal at 32.
Yeah, he can play. It's just a matter of getting him positioned to succeed, him realizing, you know, what he can do, and just getting him there, getting him that confidence, getting him going. You know, it's all right. It takes. If this guy can be good, can get on this same page, he can be a legit threat.
Yeah,
and that's what you need.
We were hoping the Texans game, with the way the Texans defense was giving up yardage at big clips, we were hoping that was going to be the confidence booster, but maybe it goes on to these next 2 weeks where they are hosting the Chiefs and then playing against Cincinnati.
Right.
Chiefs defense has played better of late. I mean, we could just dive right into this right now. It's one of the premier matchups of the season. You got Tony Romo's going to be in the booth calling out shallow cross, Y, hush puppy, whatever he calls out. And then, it's one of the best matchups of the season. Last year, these teams played classic games.
Yep, both were great games.
The second one being in the AFC Championship game, which was in Arrowhead. That's such a huge, still thinking about it. But the regular season game that was played in Foxborough, 43-40, Patriots ran the ball really well. Brady played lights out in the passing. They got two interceptions against Patrick Mahomes in the first half, one of them being Hightower for that.
Mm-hmm.
And still, they eked it out by 3 points. Now, that team had Kareem Hunt. That was before he got cut. And Kareem Hunt, in the two games he played against the Patriots, was unstoppable.
Yeah, he was
virtually
disgusting.
Unstoppable. Particularly in the passing game. Now, they don't have that this year. Damian Williams played well in the AFC Championship game against the Pats. But I don't know. For some reason, they're not getting the same production out of the running back position this season. I think Pat Mahomes is... I mean, I watched the Raiders game last week, and they dominated. But since coming back from the injury, I think...
He doesn't look right.
He doesn't look quite right, and no. I think... he's not as accurate right now. I'm not sure why that is, but it seems like he's throwing more 50-50 balls, more jump balls, more dangerous passes, and I don't think it's really bit him yet.
Right.
I really hope they can take advantage of that, because if they don't win the turnover battle, they're not going to win this game. That's a fact. They need to have more takeaways than giveaways. They can't just be neutral.
Well, and if I real quick to go back to the Houston game, the difference in that game is they got a pick and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know we got a lot of points in garbage time. If we made a big play at the end of the game and turned the ball over, we would have probably won. And that's all it would have taken. As ugly and shitty as we looked in that game was for us, we could have won that, because all it took was a turnover. So now, yeah, They're playing in New England. That's a big benefit. I feel like they didn't get any calls last week. They were just getting roasted on the calls. And I feel like the NFL this year in general has really just been screwing the away team.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been just awful on both sides of the ball in general. You know, whoever's making the call or whoever's playing, the refs have been terrible. But, you know, the home team has had a massive advantage this year. Or the team that's losing. They'll just throw fourth down and you guys are down by a score. Yeah, we're giving you a first down no matter what the fuck happens.
Yeah, it's going to be holding. How about that?
Yeah, so not that that's going to be the big difference in the game. The defense needs to show up. Kansas City's just abysmal, you know, defending the run. They're 30th in the league defending the run right now. No, I haven't seen...
Yeah, that's the common thread in their losses is people are putting up 180, 190 rushing yards. Titans got over 200 rushing yards. The only game that wasn't like that was the Packers game, but Mahomes didn't play in that one.
Right.
So it's like, throw that game out.
So, you know, let's get the offensive line some confidence. We've said this in the past. Whenever the Patriots are being counted out and whatever, and the offensive line needs some confidence, run the ball. And if you're afraid to run the ball, McDaniels, get the fuck out of Dodge, okay? For Christ's sake, it's running the ball. Like, what do you think the worst is going to happen? You're going to get a fucking yard? Like, you're good.
The good news is that was their game plan the last two times they played the Chiefs, and they won both of those games. It's going to be real hard to – I got to think it'd be real hard to convince Belichick at their game planning meetings on Tuesday, hey, you know how we're going to beat them? We're throwing the ball. He's going to be like, didn't we run the ball on them twice last year, and we won both of those? They're like, well, let's do that.
Yeah. I mean, they're not great against the pass either. They're 16th against the pass. I know they've been playing better.
A lot of that playing better is, it's first of all, it's the team getting used to each other. Like, Morris Claiborne's a new player there, getting used. But also is the weather gets shittier in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And you saw in that game, Mahomes was having a tough time throwing there.
Right.
It's like, Derek Carr is not going to be able to throw the ball more than a yard downfield.
I mean, I don't really like a lot of their, you know, they have Tyrone Matthew, but their secondary, I don't think, Breshad Breeland, I don't think is very good. I don't know.
He's not great. Fuller is their back. He's a slot corner.
Yeah. So, whoop-de-doo-dah with that.
Their linebackers, Anthony Hitchens, Damian Wilson, not very good. Those are the starters. Behind them, they have Reggie Ragland, who does get a lot of time.
How is he not starting?
He can't cover anybody. That's the reason the Bills got rid of him.
Really?
He can't cover.
Isn't he a first-round pick?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in that Hightower, C.J. Mosley, Alabama thing.
Yeah.
They picked up Darren Lee, middle linebacker, who was a Jets draft pick. I can't remember if he was second or real speedy linebacker. So between him and Ragland, they kind of have one functional linebacker. But that seems like the best place to take advantage is the running backs against their linebackers. Their defensive line is all right. It's top heavy. You know, it's got Chris Jones, who had 15 some odd sacks last year. Frank Clark was the offseason addition, and he is more balanced than D Ford was. D Ford was pass rush specialist. That was really it. Frank Clark plays the run really well. He's a lot closer to Justin Houston in his prime. But they have Mike Pennell at D tackle.
I heard, and he's helping with the run.
Yeah, he's playing well.
Too bad I'm surprised we didn't keep him.
Yeah, hasn't really been an issue for us with the way Danny Shelton's. But
would have been good for the rotation though.
Attacking the linebackers, Chris Jones isn't an excellent defensive tackle against the run. That's part of the reason that they give up so many rushing. And everybody wants to run against them because everybody wants to shorten the game and give Mahomes as few opportunities as possible.
Right. Yeah. So
that seems like the way to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like you can throw a little bit too on these guys. I mean, you're going to have to keep pace. So they, you know, I don't know how much they're going to score on us. I mean, they're going to score. And I don't know I don't know if it's going to be fucking over 30 points, but you know, they're going to score at least 20. They're going to, you know, probably at least two or three touchdowns, I would say, is what I'm guessing.
Oh, they're definitely going to score in the
I mean, their defense has been shored up recently, as we say. I mean, they played Oakland last week, who was, God knows what happened to them. They lost to the Jets and then them. It seems like someone just pulled out their the rug right from under them. And then the week before that, they played the Chargers, who have been terrible.
Chargers are real bad.
And the sad part is, is the Chargers led in every single offensive category that week. They led in passing, rushing, and receiving.
Oh, that's funny.
They had the highest receiver, highest rusher, and highest passer. I mean, that's insane. So how's it, you know, that, and they've been terrible, the Chargers.
They've been really bad.
You know, they had one or two games where everyone's like, oh, I think they're coming back. It's like, no, they're just bad. I mean, if you go back, but they let up 35 to a Tannehill-led Tennessee Titans, who actually Tannehill's playing pretty well, so I can't shit on them that much, but they let up 35. It's like, you know, Tannehill shouldn't be scoring that much. 23 to Minnesota is pretty good. 31 to Green Bay is nothing to write home about. And then they gave up only 6 to Denver, who literally doesn't have an offense. And still Joe Flacco led the fucking team in the game in passing.
Well, that was a Matt Morgan. That was the game that
I don't care.
It was split in half.
Was that quarterback? Oh, is that what you're saying? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was split in half, so neither
fair enough. Quarters. It led up 31 to Houston. We led up 28 to Houston. So, you know, that kind of speaks there.
They score their points. The only time they've been held below 24 points was against the Colts. That Sunday night game where the Colts won 19-13. I got to think Bill's going to be staring at that game, seeing what do the Colts do? What did this mediocre team figure out that they could hold this high-powered offense that low in points? What they got, and we should talk about strengths. Strength of the Chiefs is clearly the offense. Strength of the Patriots is the defense. This is going to be the most interesting matchup and most impactful in terms of how we're going to see the outcome play out here. The Chiefs have speed. That's their thing.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is the fastest player in the NFL. DeMarcus Robinson has absolute wheels. Mecole Hardman might have been the fastest player in last year's draft. Ran in the 4.3s at the combine. Sammy Watkins is a known burner, despite being a big guy. In the running backs, not really the case, but I just named like four guys that have absolute top end speed. Travis Kelce is probably the most athletic tight end in the NFL. Maybe George Kittle, right there. Kelce leads the NFL in all receiving categories for tight ends. And they got a quarterback that can move and throw the ball wherever he. It's a big challenge. And last year they scored more than 30 against the Patriots defense both times.
Yeah.
And we're looking at very similar personnel packages for the Pats defense. Now we play a little bit different up front now, where we got Danny Shelton playing as a true nose tackle, where we were playing three technique guys, like a four-man line most of last season. And Jamie Collins is the other big addition. But on the back end, where you really need to think about it is – who's covering Tyreek Hill? Who's covering Sammy Watkins? Who's covering Travis Kelce? Yep. We have the same guys as we did last year. Jason McCourty, Jonathan Jones, Stephon Gilmore.
Well, and they did good in both games for the first half. They basically shut them down.
That's what I'm trying to get at, is that they match up well and they played well both times, and both times they scored more than 30 points.
Yeah, for second half they made adjustments and they came out and they kicked ass.
It's like, holy shit, how are you going to contain this?
Well, and the problem is last year somehow we kept pace, which is interesting because last year our offense wasn't very good. But you're right, they had Gronk. That was the difference. So can we keep pace? Can we, you know, basically can we outscore them? Is our defense going to make a lot of plays? Can our defense get back to turning the ball over? Because the two games we lost, we really didn't turn the ball over at all.
Well, meaning we got two takeaways against the Ravens.
That's true. I forgot about that. Well, Houston, we didn't get much. Dallas, we got nothing. Dallas, we really didn't get much in Dallas, did we?
Just the block punt.
The block punt, right. Yeah. Which is, you know.
That was the difference. That's how we scored the touchdown.
That was the difference, right. So we need a couple big plays. We need our defense to make some opportunistic plays in this game. I know it sounds vanilla, but it's like, you know, the matchups, I would think, Johnny Jones gets Tyreek Hill with the safety cover over the top. You put Gilmore over, you know, whether it's Sammy Watkins or DeMarcus Robinson or, you know, whoever's spread out wide. J.C. Right. Jackson, if McCourty's back, one of those guys get the other guy out wide. And, you know, I'm fine if they run the zero blitz occasionally, but if they can throw over the middle, can they please put a fucking safety over there?
Yeah, and it's a question of, are they going to use the safety to cover the middle of the field, or are they going to use them to cover Tyreek Hill?
That's true.
And in what we saw in the AFC Championship game last year, they used him on Tyreek Hill, and everybody else was manned up. And that's one of the reasons Tyreek Hill did next to nothing. He had one really big play, but Travis Kelce had a good day. Some of the other guys had good. Damian Williams, in particular, had a really good day out of the backfield. Yeah, I think on Kelce, you'll see J.C. Jackson and Patty Chung rotating. See whoever's playing best. And then get some pressure. Get some pressure. He's really good outside the pocket, too, which makes it tough. And then you discipline in your rush lanes. Their offensive line is not playing to anywhere near the level they did last year. Mitchell Schwartz, who was the gold standard at right tackle, has taken a bit of a step back. Right guard, the doctor from Canada, Duvernay Tardif.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's not that good. Left tackle, Eric Fisher, has been banged up. I don't think he's on the injury report. I think he'll probably play, but if he doesn't play and they put Cam Irving at left tackle, that is a target.
Okay.
I am very hard on Cam Irving. The other thing to remember about last year's team versus this year's was Trey Flowers.
Yeah, we didn't have Trey Flowers. They also, didn't they have more offensive weapons? I feel like they're missing guys, no?
No, they got everybody.
Well, one thing,
Sammy Watkins.
That's interesting, too, is Mahomes was always a last year you really had to worry about him running the ball. I know you said he's really good out of the pocket, but I feel like last year he would take off and run. Not a lot, but occasionally. This year he's only averaging about 16.6 yards per game rushing.
Well, he's coming back off a knee injury.
Right, which I'm saying is good.
Oh, yeah. You don't
have to worry as much. I mean, he might still take off and run, but it's not like a Deshaun Watson or by any means a Lamar Jackson where it's like you have to really pay attention to him coming out of the pocket and running.
Yeah.
You have to do it a little bit with Mahomes this year, but not nearly as much as in the past because I don't think he can run it.
That's a good point.
He's got a bad ankle. He's got a bad knee. The kid's banged up.
Yeah. Can I tell you a surprising stat?
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs offense is high-powered, very well-regarded. They are currently third in points, fourth in yardage as an offense, and that includes a number of games with Matt Moore at quarterback.
Yep.
They are 19th in the NFL in red zone percentage in terms of getting touchdowns in the red area.
Really?
Yeah, 19th. I mean, Pats are worse. Pats are at 24th.
Yeah.
But that's an opportunity where you could force them to kick field goals, stay in the game.
Yep.
So we need defensively, we need to win the turnover battle. We need to force turnovers, stop them in the red zone, keep them to like a 50-50 red zone percentage. And then I think we need the best game of the season from the offense line.
We do. And we
probably need to get two out of those three things.
Yep. And, you know, it's maybe the loss in Houston is the thing that helps us win this game. It gets those guys back fired up. You were kicked down another couple pegs. Hey, we need you guys to win. If they win this game, I think we're in decent shape because we all said at the beginning of the year when we saw the schedule and looked at the run they had after the bye week, you had the Ravens, you had the Eagles, Dallas, Houston, now Kansas City. We all said out of those five games, if they can get out with only two losses, they'll be in great shape.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, even if they got out with three losses, they're still in decent shape. So we're at the point we have two losses. You have a home game. You know, like we just talked about. I mean, the Chiefs are good. They're a legitimate team. They play well. They got a lot of weapons, but they're beatable. They're not like last year where you were going into Kansas City and it was looked impossible. It looked dire. That, you know, not even just forget about your team, just looking at their team, how do we stop this? So this year, you don't have that as much. They've come back to earth a little bit for whatever reason, the injuries or whatnot, I don't know. But that's good. I think you got a team that, you know, the Patriots, when the Patriots think they're against the wall, when they think everyone's against them, that's when they play their best. And that's when Brady plays his best, and everyone, they want to be counted out. Like, that's their MO. It's like they wait to be counted out to play their best football. It happens every single goddamn year. And, you know, they lost the Ravens game. Now they lost this a couple weeks later. The defense, everyone's saying, the defense might not be as legitimate as we thought just based on the talent they've played. So they got some shit to prove. And I think that's when the Patriots and Bill Belichick and all these guys are on this team are at their best. And I just hope offensively they throw a couple wrinkles out there. I mean, everyone's saying, they're saving stuff. There's no time to save anything. Let's get these fucking guys open. You've seen these players practice. Put them in some kind of position to get open and catch a ball. Because it's not impossible, especially against a bad defense. Or not a great defense.
There you go. Well put. It's I would have said it's the biggest game of the season, but I think that Buffalo game is actually shaping up to be.
Yeah, it depends. Right, yeah, it depends on how we play this week, how the Ravens play against Buffalo. I mean, there's so many factors. Yeah,
I would love for Buffalo to beat the Ravens. I would love for that to happen. It's in Buffalo.
I think they can
out there.
I think they can. I mean,
Sean McDermott's a great defensive coach. That defense,
well, that's what
is
I mean.
I'm playing really well, and they're figuring it out on offense as they go. It's improving that.
Yeah, we've all been waiting for this offense. You know, Lamar Jackson looks incredible, but you saw a couple of cracks last week in San Fran. The weather wasn't great. Like, you know, it's going to be different in Baltimore than it will be in Buffalo. But still, the weather will be a factor. They couldn't pass as much because of the weather, and Lamar had to run almost that, like, it seemed like every goddamn play.
Every important play.
And he was getting killed. He was so close to losing a knee on at least two plays. Like an inch. And I know
he wasn't.
There was specifically one play where he's running, and he jumps and lifts his leg as the cornerback comes flying at his knee with his helmet, and he missed by a friggin' inch. So that's scary. That's like, no one wants to see that. No one wants to see that guy get hurt. No. But you can't rely on him to just run. So maybe the 49ers were onto something a little. I know they got an amazing defense too. Buffalo's not too far behind. Maybe they saw something.
Yeah, and the Niners were playing on the road. We'll see what the surface looks like. It was clearly a sloppy surface last week. And one thing to keep in mind, Greg Roman used to be the offensive coordinator in Buffalo under Sean McDermott.
Oh, really?
Who is right?
So he knows how he fucking works.
Yeah, back when they had Tyrod Taylor. And yes, I pronounced that correctly. So that's a huge game. That's a noon game. Also at noon, the other one that I'm looking forward to, Niners at Saints. What a great game. Niners, what a schedule they have.
They are just getting roasted.
Yeah, they've had a tough game. I mean, Seahawks, Packers, Ravens, New Orleans, Seahawks again. Yeah, they have a tough one. So I mean, that'll be a ton of fun.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. What do you got?
That is the most expensive ticket going this weekend.
Really?
Niners at Saints. Just narrowly more expensive than Kansas City at New
Orleans. Wow.
Yeah,
I wanted to bring up real quick Buffalo, talk about how important this, you know, the next couple of weeks are. They got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and New England.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and New England. Pittsburgh is what a funny team that.
It's at Pittsburgh, at New England. So, and then they have the Jets, who always, you know, in division games, they're going to be fighting.
We got the Bengals and the Dolphins.
Right.
The Patriots.
My point being that I'd be stunned if the Bills run the table, never mind lose multiple games. Yeah. I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't lose more than one.
Yeah, it's a good point. They would have to go, I think the worst record the Patriots could wind up with is 12-4, and that's if they lose to the Chiefs and Bills, beat the Bengals and Dolphins. So the Bills would need to, I guess it would come down to the divisional record, because we would split the games between them, the head-to-head matchups. So they would have to be at least 12-4, if not 13-3.
Right.
Which means they can't lose two games.
Right. Which I think we can figure it out. They might do it. Usually things turn our way at the end of the season. I don't know why that happens, but it kind of does.
It does. The Bills beat the Ravens. The Pats beat the Bills. Pats wind up with a 14-2 record. Tops.
That would be amazing.
That'd be great.
It'd be amazing. It's a possibility. It's all on the table. We didn't mention the first coaching firing of the year.
That's true. Ron Rivera gets axed on a Tuesday after his team gets embarrassed by the Redskins in a game that the Panthers were leading. Redskins come back, win that game with their interim head coach. Ron Rivera doesn't get fired on Monday, which is when you normally see. They wait till Tuesday to do. And after 9 years as the head coach of the Panthers, winningest in franchise history, he finds his way to the door. He's immediately defended by
all of his players.
All the players. They love him. Mm-hmm. Wow. They love him big time.
So he'll probably be hired pretty quick.
Everyone seems to think so. And I mean, what are you hiring? Are you hiring a guy that knows defense? A guy
haven't
that knows
you
offense,
realized
a guy that knows culture?
That it doesn't fucking matter in the NFL anymore?
So that's how Jack Del Rio was head coach like four different times.
What does Mike Tomlin bring to the table besides his attitude?
Mike Tomlin's a culture guy.
He's an attitude guy. Yeah, okay. So yeah. Is Rivera. He's a culture guy. I think he is. If every player goes, oh, we failed him, it's like, okay, they all love him. He's a culture guy. The players like him. He's a player's coach. I mean, how did Jim Caldwell have a job in Indianapolis for that long?
That's exactly it. That was a great example.
You know? What did he bring to the table? Nobody knows.
He got more out of this Detroit Lions team than Matt Patricia, because Patricia is not a culture.
Right.
He's not improving the culture there at all. He's supposed to be a defensive guy, and their defense is, I mean, bottom of the barrel, bottom five.
Is it now?
Oh, it's real bad. Real bad. So, yeah, maybe, well, that's the I guess for coaching vacancies, there's Carolina and Washington right now.
Mm-hmm.
We already forgot that Jay Gruden was fired in.
That's right. I said the first coaching fire. That's the second one.
Yeah. The other ones that we will likely see, we're recording this on Thursday night, and the Bears are currently dismantling the Cowboys 24-7 quarter. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Cowboys job's going to open up.
Yeah.
After all the smoke, and there will be a handful more.
Well, it seems like those wins over Philly and Dallas week by week look worse and worse, and like not as impressive, just because they're getting smoked by all these teams.
Those teams are racing to the bottom.
And they're talented. They have a lot of talent. One thing I heard too is Doug Peterson, not that he'd be fired by any means, but that he could all be just a goddamn sham, and it was all Frank Reich.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And it's looking like that more and more, because Frank Reich's taken the Colts, who everyone thought was a goddamn dumpster fire, lost their starting quarterback, didn't have a defense, and they are, you know, they're still in the playoff hunt. And for a while there, they looked like the hottest team in the NFL.
They did look good. I mean, they beat this Chiefs team. Yeah. They've definitely had their setbacks.
Yeah.
Particularly against the Dolphins.
But nobody expected anything out of them.
You should also mention that the Eagles won a playoff game last season with a backup quarterback and no Frank Reich. And then I thought they probably should have beat the Saints in the divisional round. And they had that play that made no sense to me, where they snapped the ball with a running clock. They snap it with 2 minutes and 2 seconds to go on their supposed game-winning drive to try to get one more play in. And he throws a pick six on a slant pass to Alshon Jeffery. Oh, no. Yeah, it goes off Jeffrey's hands and a pick six.
Yep.
And that was it, where if they just took their time, they didn't need two possessions. That one drove. I don't really know where I was going with that. Frank Reich's is a great coach. He's proven it the last two.
But
and a lot of people think Josh McDaniels. I mean, how many years in a row could he be the number one head coaching candidate and then not do anything?
Yeah, and I really think
again this year.
This year. Well, I don't know if he's the number one coach candidate, Josh McDaniels, after this year.
Do you think it is?
I don't know.
Lincoln Riley is probably the number one. He's the Oklahoma head coach. He's the one that produced Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray.
I think maybe Greg Roman.
Greg Roman's it's a weird one, because
you can't run that offense anywhere else.
Well, yeah, exactly. You're drafting somebody that's just like that, or there's no other quarterbacks like that. His quarterbacks have been Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, and Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Those are unusual guys.
And you know, it's funny though, all three of those guys, he usually calls a good game against the Patriots.
Roman
really does. He knows how to, you know, kind of spook them a little bit. I don't know who else. I mean, just Josh doesn't look this. Josh has got to put some shit together this year. But
he's got enough.
That's true. But after those games that you mentioned coming up this week, there really isn't much left. There's a bunch of, you know. I could see someone like Denver upsetting Houston after Houston just won a game, and they're, you know, their first time beating the Patriots. They're going to be like, oh, we did it. And then they get smoked. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, maybe. There's not many other games I want to see. I'd like to see if Oakland still has anything left in the tank. They're hosting the Titans, who are on a tear.
That's true.
And then Sunday night, Seattle at the Rams. The Rams have been garbage until last week, when they played really well against the Cardinals. And these two teams met on Thursday Night Football earlier in the season, and that was a great game.
Yeah.
So I like to see that. And nothing else really. Giants at the Eagles on Monday night. Probably won't watch that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like nobody
rarity
gives a shit about the NFC East right now. All right. So what's your prediction? What do you got?
Oh, man. This one hurts. It really hurts. But I can't go against the Pats. I love the way they bounce back after games like this.
Yeah, me too. So
I'm going to go with 27-24 Patriots.
I was thinking the same thing, but because you said that, I'll do, let me think here, 27-20. That's what I'll go with.
27-20. All right. You heard it here first, folks.
Maybe. Maybe you heard it here first.
Maybe. Okay. That's all for us. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week to break down this game and look forward to week 15.
Absolutely. Adios. All right,
see ya.
Later.